Welcome. Thank you so much for having me here again to speak. And as Pastor Bob said, I've been coming back and forth working with this church for about 15 years. And most of that time, I've been single and alone. And I'd come and go on a whim and wouldn't have to ask anybody, wouldn't have to talk to anybody, because my decisions didn't really affect anybody. But now, my lovely wife, you want to come up here a minute, baby? She is. Yeah. Well, I was hoping the marriage would last forever, but maybe not after this. But no. Listen, I now have someone I can share the miracles and the glories of God. Because I've been doing ministry for many years, and one of the things that I've been missing is someone to share testimonies with. Like, one of the people I share about are right here in this church, Tex and Roki, and, you know, because I've watched God. I've had the privilege of watching God move in their lives and grow them. And I feel so much better now because I have my wife, and I'm going to talk about her some more, but I want you all to look at her because she's beautiful outside and inside. You can sit down now, baby. But the thing we wanted to share with you, maybe I should have kept her up here, but I'm going to move right into my sermon. But since we've been here, my wife has gotten attached to the church, and she's gotten attached to many of the ladies in this church, and she sees the need. And so we have made a decision to move back here. I can't tell you a time frame because there's a whole lot of things that have to be done. And one of the things I have to be in Iowa for is my mother's 90th birthday, which is in October. I have a house to sell and those sorts of things. So, but before I continue on with my wife, let me pray for this service. Our Father God, I come before you, Lord, and we lift you up, and we give you the praise and the glory, and we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, I thank you personally, Lord, for giving me the privilege to share your word and to teach, Lord. And Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege of showing me when you do work in someone's life, and that I have had the privilege and the honor of being one of your instruments, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now that each person here could be an instrument of you to help share your word, to help glorify you, and have that privilege and honor of watching a life change because of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about this week a little bit before I get started, but it was my birthday yesterday. And this has been a very hard week. Last week was a difficult week. It is like the enemy has just been slam dunking me, one right after another, and another one after that, and another one after that. And I'm not going to go into details of what's been going on, but because I have a wife that's a prayer warrior, she has given me, through prayer, strength to persevere. And we're going to be talking about that. But on Friday, I got up to come down and work on my sermon. And I hadn't worked on my sermon. I just hadn't had a chance. There was so much stuff going on, so much chaos and everything. And it was Wednesday, it was Wednesday, right? Yeah. Was it Wednesday? Let's see, Saturday, Friday. I don't know what day it was. But anyhow, I was down here, and before I left, she says, "Honey, don't have a donut this morning because I want to go to breakfast with you." Friday. It was Friday. Okay, all right. And so I said, "Well, okay." And I'm thinking to myself, "Man, I really got to work on my sermon. I mean, I hadn't had a chance to do much with it." And so she calls me, and I say to her, I say, "Well, baby, how about if I bring you to OB, right? I mean, as long as I have to go to breakfast and I can't work on my sermon, then I just as well go somewhere I want to go, right?" And she goes, "Well, really, I don't want to go. I'd really just like to go to Denny's." Oh, okay. All right. So I mean, I'm oblivious. I don't think anything about it. The whole time I'm not resentful, but I'm thinking, man, I really got to work on my sermon, and I really don't want to go to breakfast. I'm focused now, and I want to keep going. And so I meet her at Denny's up here, and I get out of the car, and here comes Yuseli and Jesus and Wendy and Clarice, and I say hello to walked over and talked to him, and I said, well, yeah, my wife wanted to meet me here for breakfast, and I said, you guys could probably join us. I'm sure it's not a romantic breakfast, right? And so we walk in, and the guy says to me, he says, are you here for with the big group? And I said, no. And you tell he's behind me evidently going, yeah. Because I walk around the corner, and they start singing Happy Birthday to me. Well, they tell you that story because, it was a wonderful thing that happened. And thank you for that, baby. And But I wanted to share that story because, you know, we've been doing this series on running from God. Pastor Bob has, and I've tried to continue it. And we tend to do that. We tend to, when God's saying, hey, come here. And we're going, well, you know, I'm really kind of too busy to do that right now. Well, let me tell you, God's got something wonderful in store for you. And I just shared that story just to let you know that, you know, even though we resist sometimes, you know, just give in. Everything's not so busy and revolves around me or you that we can't take time for other people. And you can, and taking time for God can really surprise you. When we came here for the wedding and everything, we had been talking about moving to Branson, Missouri, Phoenix, Arizona, and San Diego would come up a little bit. And then once we got here and my lovely wife got involved with some of the ladies and she's got a heart like me. And so that's how we came up with this decision. It was a God decision because we have been praying about it. But anyhow, let me continue on here. So I got my note. Oh, yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Your notes. I don't know if all of you got notes or not. But once again, like last week, these notes are for you personally, because I'm going to touch on some things, and I'm not going to give you the answers because I can't give you the answers. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit be with you, that He might give you the answers. So if you don't have one of these, the ushers will give you one. And we'll be going over that sort of thing. But Pastor Bob has been doing this series on running from God, and he started with Jonah, and if you want to hear those, you can go on the website and listen to his sermon the first week, and you can listen to the second sermon the second week. And last week I tried to continue it because I was thinking about, okay, what kept Jonah from just submitting to God? Well, it was his pride. And so last week we talked about pride versus humility. And we talked about, in pride keeps us in the world, and it keeps us involved in sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Remember we talked about that for those of you that were here? And if you weren't here last week, I suggest you go online and listen to it, because It just felt good when I was given it. And I don't mean that on me. I mean that because the Holy Spirit was just really bringing it on. And in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, right? And when we become humble, and we get rid of all that jealousy and envy and everything, now we get the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Remember, we talked about that. And when you think about, just think, and I'm not going to dwell on this too long, but just think about the times you were angry, the times someone has just really irritated you. And I can talk about that because it's been happening to me. And then think about when you let go of it and you forgave them and you were released from that bondage, because that's what we talked about. Our pride keeps us in that bondage. So I just wanted to touch on that. And I really would suggest that you listen to those sermons because they're very good. So the message today is called Standing Firm with the Lord, right? Because we talked about running from God. Now I'm going to talk about running to God, running to Him and embracing Him and hearing what He has to say, doing what He has to say. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So how do we stand firm with the Lord? That's the question. How do we do that? Well, it takes discipline. It takes discipline to pray, to read God's word. It takes discipline to follow God, to follow God's word. And discipline is something that none of us like. And I have Proverbs here that, what did I do? Let's see. Oh, there we go. Okay. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness." So when you're living in the world and you're jealous and you're envious, and we talked how last week we talked how Jonah felt more righteous than the people in Nineveh, right? And that's where his pride came in. His pride was not letting him submit to the Lord. Proverbs 15:10 says, "Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who takes correction will die. Who hates correction will die." And isn't that what discipline is about? Isn't it about making corrections in our life? Isn't that what God does to us with His Word? When people come and talk to me and they want counseling, I tell them things they don't like to hear. But if I told them everything they wanted to hear, then what's the point? If I just agree with you and you come to me with a struggle or a problem, and I say, "Well, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry for you. Oh, let me just give you a hug and we'll make it all better." I didn't help you a bit, did I? All I did was encourage you to continue in that. So when Pastor Bob or some of the other folks here, they confront you on some issues and they say, "You know what? You know, you're in a pouty bag here, and you know, you got to learn to forgive. You got to learn to let go. You got to learn to give it up. You can't live in the past. You have to move forward with Jesus Christ and live in the future." Amen. In the present first, right? But you can't stay there. You can't stay in that bondage. And Proverbs 15:11 says, "Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts?" Because our hearts are hard. Because we have that pride. And we don't know how to become humble. It's interesting. Pastor Bob had me doing the love and respect class. And it's interesting how much pride is involved in marriages and in relationships. Not just with husbands and wives. But with our children, with our friends. It's like, I don't want to be wrong. And I don't want to be the first one to say I'm sorry. Because if I'm the first one that say I'm sorry, that makes me vulnerable. Now I'm opened up. And I said this, I think I did this at the love and respect. You know, we open up like this. And it's like, okay, I'm going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm going to admit that you were right. And now go ahead and gut me. But you know what? That's what Jesus did. He hung on the cross like this. He made Himself vulnerable. And we need to do that in our relationships. We need to get rid of our pride and our arrogance and our jealousy and our envy of each other. We need to begin trusting in God and standing firm with Jesus Christ to help us through those struggles, because you can't make yourself vulnerable without Him. And that's where trust comes in faith, is through Jesus Christ. So I have preached up here many times, and Pastor Bob always says, "Yep, the book of James. He's going to talk about the book of James. The book of James." And I am going to preach on the book of James today. I have never done that. But I am going to do that because, you know, when I was thinking about the sermon, when I was thinking about running from God and coming to Him and standing firm with the Lord, this is the book that helped me do that. This is the book of instruction, simple instruction that I could understand, that made sense to me. And so I'm going to preach on chapter 1 today. And if you don't know where it is, it's between Hebrews and 1 Peter. And it's a short book. It's 5 chapters. And the first, you know, if you have an NIV Bible, they have all these subtitles. And the first chapter is on trials and temptations. And it's also on listening and doing. The chapter 2 is on favoritism forbidden. We can't favor each other. We got to treat everybody the same. And it's on faith and death. Chapter 3 is on taming the tongue. How many of us need to tame our tongue? Huh? And I'd love to preach on that today, but I don't have time. And there's 2 kinds of wisdom. And when you think about that, and I'd love to preach on that too, but I don't have time. But there's God's wisdom, and there's the world's wisdom. Okay? So there's 2 kinds of wisdom. That's in chapter 3. Chapter 4 is on submitting yourselves to God. And then the other subject matter that's made in that is boasting about tomorrow. Aren't we boasters? Don't we brag? Don't we? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go make money here, go make money there. And James says, well, you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. Your life is but a mist. It's a good chapter. And chapter 5 is on warning to the rich oppressors. Now, we don't have any rich oppressors in here, but it's still an interesting part. Patience and suffering is in chapter 5, and the prayer of faith. So I would suggest, and I would ask you all, this week, I'm just going to ask you all, and I'm going to ask for a show of hands, who's willing to read the book of James this week? 5 short chapters. 5 short chapters. You know, and if you have any questions on it, please call Pastor Bob. Some of you, some of you have my number. You can call me too. All right, but it is my favorite book in the Bible, and I did memorize chapter 1, verse 19 through whatever. That was the first verse I memorized in the Bible, and I'm going to be talking about that. And I did that because it applied to me. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, as you're reading this book, you know, how it can apply to you. And don't fight that. When you're reading this, when you're reading God's Word and studying God's Word, and you're running towards Him so that you can stand firm with Him, don't run away when He convicts you. Run towards Him. Because when that Holy Spirit convicts you, you're going to have a wonderful surprise at the end. A wonderful surprise. Now, it may not be a birthday party. It'll probably be a lot better than that. But run towards Him so that you can stand firm with Him. Embrace Him. Embrace His Word. So we're going to move on here. We're going to be reading some texts, and we're going to be reading James 1, 2 through 8. And then I think we're going to be reading verses 12 too. And you can read along with me. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I'm going to stop there because I want you to know I wasn't feeling very much joy the last couple of weeks every time the devil attacked me. I wasn't. I was starting to get into that pity bag I was talking about. But let me continue. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. You must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And verse 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now I want to expand a little bit on this scripture, because there's a lot there. And I could probably talk a whole hour just on considering it pure joy. But the perseverance part, when God is talking, when James is talking about perseverance, you know what that does? It helps you with your faith. It helps you with your trust. Now, in relationships, and I'm going to go back to relationships, you know, a lot of times in relationships we've had a trust broken. And before we come to the Lord, we don't really trust God. I've talked to a couple of guys here this week, and they don't trust God. They don't trust anybody. They just don't trust. Well, when you're going through those, and then when they're going through trials and such, and they don't have God, they begin to look at the world for the answers. They begin to look at the revenge and the jealousy and all the different things that go along with the world. And so when, as a Christian, when you're going through these things and you persevere through it, you know, God, we begin to trust God more. And it's that way with relationships too. If you're in a shaky relationship and you make amends and you apologize and you make yourself vulnerable, the person that doesn't trust you, they begin to trust you more. And sometimes it's like, well, yeah, Pastor Dave, but I do that and then I get slammed down again, so then I don't trust him anymore. Well, you have to pick yourself up and do it again. You have to continue to make yourself vulnerable for them to begin to trust you more. And that's what God does here. When James says, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And through perseverance, your faith grows, your trust in God grows, and by doing that, you're running towards him, embracing him, so that you can stand firm with him. We need to stand firm with God. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. I wanted to dwell a little bit on, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, right? And he gives it to us. He gives us wisdom. Without finding fault, it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable as they do. And if you think about that, because as I was thinking about this and the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, I try to compare that relationship with my friends, with my wife, with my children, with people that I influence. And you know, when we ask and we don't receive it, because we don't believe. I mean, how can God, when you ask God for help and when you ask him, the only time you come to him, the only time you ask him is when you're in trouble. Well, God, you know what, God, you know, this week, you know, I just don't have enough money, you know, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do, and can you help me out? And nothing comes. And nothing comes. Your money clip is empty. It's got a piece of paper in it. And you wonder, and you go, all right, God, what is the deal? Why aren't you helping me? My kids are just being a real problem, and I keep praying, I keep coming to you, and I keep coming to you, and it's like, well, why aren't you helping me, God? Why aren't you helping me? Well, Lord, you know that person, you know, they really stabbed me in the back, and I know I should forgive them, but you know what, God, I don't know if I can do that, but you know, if I pray to you, you'll help me do that, and then you don't do it. Because he didn't give to you. Because you didn't have the faith. You didn't have the trust. You see, we always come to the Lord. We always come to him when we're struggling, when we're hurting. But when's the last time you just went to him and thanked him? You know, sometimes we get so focused on the things that aren't good in life that we forget about the things that are good. It's like when in our relationships, we look at people and we have a wonderful relationship with them to start with, and then the relationship starts to go downhill because what we start to do is we start looking at the negative things in them, and we all have negative stuff. I have negative stuff. I can be a real pain to live with at times. I know you find that hard to believe, but you see, if we don't start looking at positive things with the Lord, if we don't start going, thank you, Jesus. I woke up today. Thank you, Jesus. I got a roof over my head. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have a lot of money, but thank you, Jesus. I have a job, but I don't have the job that I want, but thank you, Jesus. You can do it either way. And that's where that wisdom comes. You know, you when you start thinking about things, when you start studying his word, and you begin to think about the positive things that he's done for you. He told me several years ago that I should have a wife, and I started aggressively looking to no avail because he had somebody else in mind for me. Sometimes God wants us to wait. Sometimes he's not going to answer our prayers instantly. Now, I don't know why, and I don't presume to know why, except for God does. And that's where that perseverance and that faith, by being persevering in your struggles and knowing God and being silent, you know, and then when he does show up, it's like, oh, that's why you wanted me to wait. That's why I was going through all this struggle. There's a reason. God has a plan, and you have to trust him with that. You have to trust him. And anyhow, we're going to go on here. So, have you stood the test? This is one of your notes. It says, have you stood a test? Or are you one who gives up? Are you one that has been tested and have gone through some struggles? Or and you wait on God and you continue to come back to God and you persevere in that relationship with God and you persevere in that trial? Or are you one that goes, I'm done. I'm not doing it no more. You know what? This marriage ain't worth it. That relationship ain't worth it. I ain't going to do it no more. Is that you? I'm not going to forgive that person. My pride is more important. I'm not going to humiliate myself. Is that you? Or are you the person that's going to persevere and listen to what God's saying? And move through it and restore that relationship? Because I'm going to tell you, when you restore that relationship with someone else, if you're a Christian, you restore your relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's part of it. He wants you to forgive. He wants you to let go. So I'm going to ask you right now, just like last week I asked you some tough questions. Have you stood the test, or are you one who gives up? Or are you going to give up on God? Give up on yourself? Give up on your kid? Give up on your spouse? Give up on that friend? Give up on that husband? Give up on that wife? Give up on that church? Oh, that church offended me. He told me I should forgive. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm not going back to that church again. Do we persevere, or do we give up? Do we quit? Do we quit? So we're going to move on to chapter, or the next slide here, and we're going to be talking about when tempted. And this is 13 and 15, and I love this verse because it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. You know, I hear that all the time. I hear people say that all the time. Oh, God's tempting me. No, it ain't God. It ain't God. I'm going to tell you, you know, Pastor Bob, I know he's preached on Ephesians and putting on the armor of God, and it's a war between the principalities, between the good and the bad. And there is. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to understand that there is a devil. And you have to understand this. If you think that, you know, Jesus Christ is tempting you, you're wrong. You're wrong. Now, he'll take his hand away from you, and he'll let you go through a time. But it's your desire that draws you into sin. If you're having sexual relationships with someone and you're not married, it's not God doing that. It's you. If you have someone in your mind that you can't forgive, that you hate because they've done something to you, that's not on God. That's on you. It's your desire to remain bitter. It's your desire to have the sexual affair. It's your desire to be jealous. It's your desire to be envious. It's you. It's not God. And what you're doing then is, here's God up here. Here's Jesus up here, and he's not tempting you, but this guy down here is, and we try to deny this guy. We try to deny the devil as much as we deny God. But the problem is when we deny the devil, he's got you. And when you deny God, he's got you. The devil's got you. You have to understand that you have to run towards Jesus. You have to come to him, and you have to embrace him, and you have to stand firm with him. And we're going to get into reading the Word. And we're going to get into doing what the Word says. Because so many of us don't do that because we have that desire within us. Because we were born sinners. Adam and Eve did that for us. Made us sinners. Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died for those sins. So that you have his power. When that desire is coming to you, men, if you're into porn and you're thinking about looking at the porn, that's not him tempting you. That's your evil desire. If you're tempted to go drink, that's not God. That's the devil. That's the devil whispering in your ear saying, go do that, it's okay. You know what, he'll forgive you anyhow. Isn't that why he hung on the cross, is to forgive you? And he did that so you could just go do whatever you want to do. That's what the enemy says. But that's not what Jesus says. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Read the book of Job. When God removed his hand from Job so the devil could do stuff for him. Read your Bible. There is so much in the Word of God that can help you in this life. It can help you to stand firm with God. So, I'm going to ask the next question on your sheet there. What desires are you being dragged away with? Which sin has you bound up? This is for you. You need to write those notes for you because they're not for me. I know what my problems are. My wife tells me all the time. No, I'm kidding. I had to lighten it up a little bit. But no, she doesn't do that. I'm seriously. But, you know, we each know what it is. We know if it's jealousy. We know if it's envy. We know if it's sexual immorality. We know if it's drugs. We know if it's alcohol. We know if it's hate. We know if it's non-forgiveness. We know that because the Holy Spirit's been convicting you of that. And you need to write that down. And then I would suggest that when you get through with these notes, you find a Christian brother or sister that you can share that with and confess. and confess it. Because if you don't confess it, if you don't confess it, it'll rear its ugly head again. I guarantee you. You need to confess it. You need to find someone that'll hold you accountable. Tommy talked about accountability partners. You need that. It's biblical. It's in the book of James. Read it. Read it. So we're going to go on to the next one, listening and doing. What did I do here? Let's see. No. Oh, yes, this one. Okay. I'm sorry. My dear brothers and sisters, this verse right here, this is what I memorized first in the Bible when I became a Christian, before even John 3:16, because it applied to me so much. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this, and some of you have probably heard me quote this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The NIV version says, let's see. Well, I thought it did. I'm wrong. Excuse me. I'm sorry. But let me tell you how this works. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. And I'm going to talk about it in the terms of conflict. Because isn't that when that happens the most often, is when you're angry and when you don't agree with someone? And I'm learning that many times with the anger, it really has to do with control. I want to be in charge. I want it to go my way. So the Lord says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You notice the sequence. You have to be quick to listen. In other words, if someone's coming to you, if Pastor Bob's coming at me and he's saying, blah, 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 and I don't even hear what he's saying except for the first couple words, and then I'm quick to speak and I jump right back at him. Blah, 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 blah. Or another example I use, if Ed calls me a bald-headed old man that wears glasses, now, I got one of two things I can do, right? I can say something derogatory back to him, but what does that do when I do that? All it does is reinforce his feelings towards me. It reinforces in his mind that he was right. I'm a bald-headed, stupid old man that wears glasses. But if I say to Ed, if I listen to him, because I'm listening to him, and it's like, all right, Ed, well, let me see if I can understand this. What you're saying is that I have no hair, and I'm ugly, and I wear glasses, and you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. What have I done? I've diffused it, haven't I? Now I haven't reinforced in his mind his opinion of me. That's why God says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Because sometimes when we're in a conflict and we want to get our point across so fast that we just jump on each other before we even finish what we're saying. And then what happens is when that happens, then the anger escalates. And now all of a sudden it's just a bunch of loud yelling. Nobody's hearing anything. Nobody's doing anything. And it does not bring about the righteousness that God wants for you. So this verse right here, because that's how I was. I was an angry, angry person. And this verse just made so much sense to me. And when I memorized this verse, and whenever someone was, I felt, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we think that's what they're doing. We think they're going to put us down. And so we don't even listen to the whole thing. We just jump into it. So for me, it was like, wow, I got to stop and listen. I got to stop and listen. And then sometimes you run into one of these situations where the people, you know, you think they're pausing, but really they just took a breath. And so then you want to say something, but then they jump in it all over again, right? Well, what you do then is you just, okay, mm-hmm, uh-huh, just listen. And eventually they'll get done. They'll get finished. And then you can speak. Because now you've heard everything they said. And now you can say to them, okay, well, let me understand if this is right. What you said, what you're saying to me is this, this, this. And you do it in a calm way, and hopefully their anger will subside. So there's a lot of instruction in the Bible on how to make your life better, how to deal with relationships. You know, God, when we're angry at God, and I've been there, and I've yelled at him, he never yells back. He just listens. He listens, and he understands what I'm saying. And then he puts his arms around me and he says, I forgive you, my loving son, my daughter. And that's what he's trying to tell us to do, is to listen. So we're going to move on. Okay. This. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Keep oneself from being polluted by the world and helping orphans and widows. You know, and if you think about that, isn't that humbling? Isn't it humbling when you see a widow and an orphan and you know, you see all these people out there begging money and such, but it's humbling when God puts it on your heart, like Roki gave a testimony at about a 7-Eleven, giving up his $5 so he couldn't buy a donut to someone. You know, it's humbling, but that's what we need to do. Because that's what God does. Everything in here is about his sacrifice for us. How he sacrificed his life for us. But do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You've got to do what it says. You know, I've asked you all, and some of you raised your hands, about reading this book this month, this week. If you read it and you don't do it, what's the point? If you read it and you go, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, and I'm not really willing to give that up, then what's the point? If you really, truly want to have the fruits of the Spirit, you'll listen to God's Word. You'll have peace and contentment and joy. You will lose that jealousy, that anger, that unforgiveness. And that's what it's all about. It's about loving each other. It's about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Right? That's what it's about. But if you read his word, it says, do not be merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. There that is again. Remember we talked about our desires is what bring us into sin, not his. Our desires is what tempts us. Well, here it is again. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So you come here on Sunday, you hear the word, and then you go home. Some of you come on Wednesday. You hear the word and you go home. What we're talking about today is putting into practice during the week. Having Jesus with you during the week. That's what standing firm in the Lord is about. It's not about just here. It's out there. Standing with the Lord. When you're tempted, when the world's saying, do this, and you're going, yeah, I got to do that because of peer pressure. I can't be different like every... No. Stand firm in the Lord. Because the Lord will give you the strength to do that. If you persevere through your trials, it is He that gives you the strength. You don't have the strength yourself, because your strength comes from your evil desires and your justification of what you do. You need to do what God says. You need to do it. Let me see here. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Whoops, what did I do? Well, all right, I'm not going to worry about that. So, anyhow, the next question on your sheet there is, what part of God's word are you hearing but choosing not to do? Now, you have all read the Bible. You've all read it, right? You've all heard words. Are you still hating, envious? Are you still having sexual relations and you shouldn't? Are you still drinking? Are you still not forgiving? Are you still hanging on to the past? Are you allowing Satan to keep you bound? What are you doing? See, you know. I don't know. That's why these notes are personal. Once again, I would suggest you write it down. What it is that's keeping you bound up. What it is that's keeping you there. And I want, Dave, can you come up? And I'm going to go back to this scripture. I had this scripture up here last week as well. But I think it's a great scripture. Because it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, sometimes we read God's word and He's given us instruction on how to behave, how to live, how to forgive, how to do all those things I've been talking about. And we don't want to hear that part. We don't want to change that, because we have these evil desires in us that want to keep us there. But we read a scripture like this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a very nice scripture, isn't it? Jesus Christ said that Himself. And this is what we want to hear. Oh, yes. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, God is just all love. There's no hell. God's a loving God. He's not going to send anybody to hell. And they'll bring a scripture like this out that is so nice. But James says to do what the Word says. It doesn't say just do this part or that part. It says to do it. To listen to it, to move through it. So the things you wrote down, the things that you've written down there, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But if you want to be lifted from that burden, and I don't know, maybe there's someone in here that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if that's the case, some of what I said today won't make any sense at all. Because you don't understand, because you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in you. But anyone that has one of these burdens, they want to come up here and pray, we'll pray with you. I think I should have the praise and worship team come up now too. But, you know, just remember what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary. And if you're weary, if you have a burden that you're dealing with, one of the questions, and you wrote something down, and you need some prayer, you know, you might need prayer. You might not have anything written down. You might just need prayer. Please come on up. You want to stand? And praise and worship is going to play some music. And anyone that would like some prayer, come up and kneel down. You can, and I'll pray with you. If you're a lady and you need a lady to pray for you, Miss Ann is here. She would be more than happy to do that. So please, come up.